Sportscast, August 21st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on the sportscast.net, sportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone, create a picture, and share it to the world. Go to instabibleapp.com. The Oregon Ducks, number 12 Oregon Ducks, rallied behind with two touchdowns to beat number 25 Washington Huskies 35-31 in Seattle. And to join us to talk to us about it, to iron it out, Mr. Ty Turner, welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? How are you doing?
Good, Ty. I actually saw the highlights. I didn't see the game. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, was it? Oh, so you didn't see the game?
No, but I saw, like, the highlights.
That's not seeing the game. You know, you can usually watch replays of games online.
Is it, like, the whole game, or, like, they kind of cut it up?
Yeah, no, you can usually find the whole game somewhere online if you do some searching. But, yeah, because it was also an ABC game, so.
National.
A national game. So, it was a terrific, it was a very exciting game. If you've heard the media's response to it, it was just a fun game to watch. You know, there was great plays on both sides. There was a comeback. There was no turnovers, actually. There was very few penalties. So it was a clean game, exciting game, big touchdowns, one team coming from behind. So, yeah, it had everything that you'd want in a rivalry game and a great victory by the Oregon Ducks.
First touchdown came from Spencer Webb, who is taking over as, like, the tight end of the team. How do you think he did?
Okay, let me talk a little bit more about it, because he's actually not the one that took over. He does play tight end, but he's not a starter. His starters are Ryan Bay Sr. and Hunter Campomayor, Ken Poyer. Spencer Webb was a guy who came in, who was a pretty heralded tight end coming out of high school. He then came here, then when all the injuries happened to the receiver, they moved him out to receiver.
Yeah.
But since Jacob Breland has been back, they moved him to tight end. He didn't play a bunch. He did have a couple really good catches. He's a better receiver than the other two guys. The other two guys are both older and more mature. They're better in the run game, better as blockers. So they play a lot more than him. But because of his receiving ability, he did play a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to mention about like with Breland. Of course, looking at the stats, Herbert obviously had 280 yards and hard touchdowns. How'd you think he did?
I mean, I think pretty much the general consensus. Well, not general consensus. There's different consensuses around his performance. If you hear, like, I was just listening to the Audible for The Athletic and Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman, and I heard 247 Sports did an article, and ESPN did a piece, and Justin Herbert was named the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week. He led the come-from-behind victory. People are saying, yeah, you have to keep an eye on him. This is a dark horse Heisman. I mean, he has 1,800 yards passing, 21 touchdowns, one interception, completed 68% of his passes. The overall narrative is great. You know, he led them from behind. They were down by 14 in the third quarter. They ended up coming back and winning. But if you actually watch the game, and I've seen one of the Oregon Ducks beat writers, Justin Hopkins. I've seen the Athletic NFL draft guru, Dan Boogler. Ian Wharton, who was an NFL draft expert for the NFL.com. They kind of covered him play-by-play in that because they're both really watching this game. It was Justin Herbert, future first-round draft pick versus Jacob Eason, future first-round draft pick. So there was a lot of eyeballs, especially from an NFL perspective, on this game. First drive, Justin Herbert drives down the field. He's 5 for 5, makes a couple great passes, 21-yard out pattern that was amazing to Brendan Schooler, and then he finishes it off with a 12-yard touchdown to Spencer Webb. First series, he looked great. The next four series, 3 3-and-outs, he was like 1 for 9 passing. I could be accurate. I know he had 6 incompletions in a row at one point. And it was Herbert. Verdell was open on the play out the backfield. He underthrew him. He rolled out of the backfield. He got pressured. He scrambled to his right, threw a ball to a wide-open Micah Pittman, threw it right into the ground. There was a skinny post pattern, but Juwan Johnson threw it behind him. Josh Delgado was doing a half spout into like a 5-10 yard slant route behind him. There was like those 4 series in the first and second quarter that you were literally like, what the heck has happened to Justin Herbert? Like, I was on message boards. They're like, what in the world? And at that same time, Easton was playing out of his mind. He was completing almost all of his passes. Salvin Ahmad, running back from Washington, was running right over Oregon. All of a sudden, they jump out to a 14-7 lead, and you're just like... Then, towards the end of the second quarter, Herbert then led them on a drive. He had a couple nice passes. I can't remember exactly the completion. I think one was a nice 30-yard completion to Jai Johnson. I think it was that drive. They ended up going down. He ended up scoring on a 10-yard screen pass to Jalen Redd. Washington roars right back down and scores. Then Oregon gets the ball back with like a minute left. And Herbert made, again, another couple of really nice passes. But then he made a couple bonehead plays because they had no timeouts. He threw balls like in the field of play, and the clock basically ran out. They had to do like kind of a semi-Hail Mary with 30 seconds left. And, of course, Washington comes out to start the second half and runs right down the field. And then it was at that point that really the whole game was managed in a different way by Oregon. They started just running. They ran behind Cyrus Abibilikio and Travis Dye. And in the second half, their main emphasis was running the ball, and they ran for 100-and-some yards. And Herbert did very calculated. He calculated screens, calculated 10-yard outs, calculated over-the-middle passes, RPO to various receivers, Pittman, Schooler, Addison, Johnny Johnson III, Red. And that ultimately led to the comeback. The overall perspective, he led them to victory. He didn't let those 4 series completely combust his whole game. But he did play horrible for 4 series. And while Washington was playing well and got out to a lead and almost got the game, Herbert didn't play. Can you hear me?
Yes, you just went out for a bit, but now you're back.
I don't know. I'm driving. It always happens. Anyways, but Herbert did hold his composure. He was able to win them lead them to victory. He did have the game-winning drive. You know, I mean, you have to admire him for like sticking into the game. But as a whole, there was some inconsistencies, and the NFL has continued to see that about his game. And hopefully, he continues to be more consistent. Hopefully, he plays like he did in the second half. Just stay within yourself, make easy plays, and you know, if you have to go over the top, make the big play, make it.
Stick in your lane. CBS Sports just came out with their NFL mock-up draft a couple of minutes ago, and they have Herbert as number 1.
Yeah, it depends on where you see it. The issue right now is Tua's playing very well, but Tua got hurt again.
Not surprised.
Tua gets hurt every year. so that's the problem. He's already smaller. He's already his size is already kind of an issue. The lefty is kind of an issue. And now he has durability things. That's going to hurt him. I mean, I think Tua played the best of any quarterback, but durability is a concern. And then Joe Burrow, he's playing extremely well, but Joe Burrow, he doesn't have the ideal measurables. He doesn't have the ideal arm strength. You know, he's kind of not the biggest guy, a little more of a normal size, but he's playing well. And then he has to be in the picture. And then a guy like Jordan Love or Jacob Eason. I mean, Jacob Eason played a great game. He was 23 for 30 with 3 touchdowns. Jacob Eason wasn't the reason why Washington lost. Now, granted, the last 3 possessions of the game, 3 and out, and turnover on downs. So he didn't exactly win them the game in the end. And some of that could be just that Oregon made some really good plays. But, yeah, Herbert's going to still get drafted. But his inconsistency – his, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing? What's funny about
No, because, you know, you got – like, we go back and forth with Herbert.
What are you laughing about?
I love how you're so enthused about Herbert. It's like, man, I wish he did better. That type of feel.
who goes back and forth on Herbert?
You. I mean – he's like, well, you know, he's having.
He has to be. No, I'm not. That's not true.
Okay, that's fine.
That's not true.
You think Easton had a better.
No, just remain on the point. No, what have I said continuously over the last year? There's been two things I've always said about Herbert over the last year.
He's inconsistent and doesn't play under pressure.
Yep. Okay. How did he do under pressure?
Horrible. He can't win big games.
Okay, how did he do under pressure against Washington?
Much better. He has done well.
Yep. Did he win? Did he win them a big game?
He did. A rival game.
Yep. How did he do good with consistency?
He improved it.
He did?
Well, he was inconsistent in the bad in the
okay,
past good games,
okay,
and now he's doing better now.
No, how did he do with consistency in the Washington game?
I haven't seen the game.
I just told you.
Well.
What did I say about Herbert?
Yes, he was inconsistent in the game, but won the game.
Yeah, so there's your answer. I said from series 2 through 5, so he runs down the field, scores a touchdown, 6 for 6 on the first series. Series 2 for 5, he was like 1 for 9 with 3 3-and-outs. I mean, that's not consistent. So I haven't ever gone back and forth on Herbert. Haven't gone back and forth on Herbert at all. That's objectively incorrect. I've said he's not proved it in big games. He did. He came back and they won the game. So he actually proved his team down by 2 touchdowns, 28-14, leading them back and winning a big game against a conference rival on the road. He proved that. And you have to give that to Justin Herbert. But his inconsistency in the middle of games? No, he did it again.
No bueno.
Once again, in the middle of it, in the middle of a game, he once again had a period. If you go throughout Justin Herbert's career, he sometimes during a game will go like 3 series where he'll be like 1 for 8. And it does. It's kind of like, it's weird because it's like he will at one point be like 10 for 10 and 2 touchdowns, and then all of a sudden you'd be like 1 for 8, and it's like, did he decide to take 3 series? It is confusing. I don't understand. There's a couple things that I could. For one, he has this thing like he was feeling imaginary pressure. If you go back and look at some of the clips in the second, third, fourth series, he was like acting like people were about ready to sack him. There was no pressure around him. His feet were jumpy. He was getting rid of the ball like super quick, like people were like all on top of him. There actually was literally, you could see the picture. The blockers had everyone blocked. I don't know why he felt this imaginary pressure. It's very odd. And so it's little things like that. Why does he feel imaginary pressure? Why does he get skittish? Sometimes why is he like so off? I mean, when he's off, I'll say one thing. When he is not accurate with his passes, he's so inaccurate, he basically almost throws in the crowd. I mean, he's like, it's like airmailing balls. Like, shoo, shoo, airmail. Just something that he's only 21. He's a young guy. I know he's been a 4-year starter, but he's still just 21 years old. Somehow just work on take every play, make the play, move on to the next play, take the play, make the play. And then when a big situation arises like it is, just take it one play at a time. Just don't overthink it. Just remain calm, because something happens that makes a guy for 4 series be completely inaccurate, missing open receivers, and that has been the issue with him.
What'd you think about the Oregon defense?
It was not their best game. The first half was not good at all. They gave up 21 points. They gave up a touchdown in the opening half. The opening of the second half. So by midway through the third quarter, they had given up 28 points. That being said, from the mid-third quarter until the end of the game, I think it was five series, they only gave up one field goal. They forced a couple four and outs, and they added a turnover. They turned it around. I think part of it was they played a little – okay, the first half, a couple things. Washington played well. Washington called a good game. Their offensive coordinator took advantage of some opportunities. Oregon didn't execute that well. There was a lot of missed tackles. There also was guys that were out of – made missed assignments, out of alignment, not rolling over on coverage. So there was that. The third thing was they start some guys who have been with the program for a long time. I'm not going to mention names.
Oh.
But I don't think they're – are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, okay. I don't think they're as talented as some of the freshman guys. So there's, you know, the Kayvon Thibodeau five-star and top 100 guy like Mesa Funa or Mikhail Wright. These guys are super talented, but they're young. But so normally they go with some of these older guys, a little more experienced, but not as talented. Well, those older guys that are not as talented, they're getting beat. They're getting beat. So in the end of second quarter, D'Amador Lenore, who is their All-American level corner, he went out of the game, I think, with a shoulder stinger. And they brought in his backup, and his backup got burned. His backup got burned for, I think, a touchdown. Puka Nacua for Washington burned him. And I'm like, why did they have that kid in? They have Mikhail Wright in, over there, who is the top 50 recruit, one of the most talented cornerbacks in the nation, Under Armour All-American. Well, then they did fix it, and they brought Mikhail Wright in, and guess what? Mikhail Wright played amazing. He was the guy who was guarding Puka Nacua on the fourth down play that ended up being the game-winning play for Oregon. So, I just think they did buckle down. They came back. But, yeah, for 2.5 quarters, it was the roughest game of the year for the defense. But they did come up when it mattered. They brought some pressure on Easton. And I'll give it to Easton. Easton played a very good game, and he made a lot of good plays.
Anyways, I could stay on Washington all night, but we can't because we're short in time. Next stop is the Cougars of Washington State. Tyler, what are your expectations?
Washington State has beaten Oregon 4 years in a row, but who gives a crap? that doesn't matter. People
That's
keep on bringing it up. And I think it will motivate the players to be ready because, you know, coming off a big win over a big rival like Washington, I think they'll be ready. It's a night game. It's going to be at Autzen Stadium. It's going to be – I think it'll be – you'll bring a good crowd out because they don't like the Cougars. Cougars have beaten them 4 years in a row. I think it'll be one of the bigger crowds this year by Oregon. And I've seen Washington State play. They're always good on offense. Mike Leach is one of the best play callers in college football. The air raid, he's the inventor of it. But they are not good on defense. They're horrible on defense. They're one of the worst defenses. They're 104th in defensive efficiency, 78th in the SP+. They're just not good. So I think they're going to score. I don't think they have a great run game either. I think we make them a little one-dimensional. I think they'll score some points. They'll definitely get yards. But if we can hold them out of the end zone or possibly force some turnovers, that'd be awesome. And I think offensively, we just play our game. Run, pass, mix it up. We're definitely running the ball well now. The last three games, Oregon has been running the ball significantly better. 200-plus in both the Cal and Colorado game and 150-plus in the Washington game. Especially in the second half in the Washington game, I think we'll be able to not only eat up a lot of yards, I think we'll be able to get in the end zone. I believe Oregon's definitely going to be able to take this game, and I think they're going to take it by a pretty significant margin.
Ducks, and according to Vegas, are favorited by 15 points.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Good sign. Looks like at other scores this past weekend, kind of surprising results. Illinois beat Wisconsin 24-23. What were your thoughts about that score?
Yeah, great upset by Illinois. Wisconsin might have been looking a little bit ahead. Also might have showed some vulnerability. They're a little one-dimensional. Took a little luster off the Ohio State game. But hopefully Wisconsin can just pick it back up. And you know what? They still have a playoff chance. They went out. They beat Ohio State twice. They're going to make the playoffs. So, yeah, it was a tough loss for Wisconsin.
Penn State beat Michigan 28-21.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. Penn State came blitzing out of the gate, jumped ahead 21-0. You thought it was going to be a boat race. And then basically the offense did nothing for the rest of the game. And Michigan came all the way back, 28-21, had the ball, fourth and goal at the 3. Shea Patterson out of a pass rush, and he throws a pass to his receiver, David Bell, hits him right in the hands, and he drops it. And that's the game. It was a good game. I've seen Penn State play the last 2 weeks. I didn't see them jump up to 21-0. I actually saw it when it was 21-0. And so I saw Michigan actually outplay them. I also saw them play against Iowa. I don't love Michigan State's offense. They're a little one-dimensional. They have that KJ Hamler guy who's a big-time game breaker. But, and, you know, solid backs in Noah Kane and Isaac Slade, but they're young. And Clifford is okay, but he's nothing terrific. I don't love that offense at Penn State. They have a very good defense. They have a lot of speed on their defense. They have guys like Michael Parsons, studs. But I don't think they're going to challenge Ohio State. I don't think they're going to beat them. And I think Penn State ends up with about 2 losses. I just was not quite as impressed as I thought I would be with him.
Is it true about I've been hearing about Penn State's recruiting program is really good. Have you heard some good things about that?
Oh, yeah. Penn State has definitely done well in regards to recruiting. I mean, they've had, top 15 class last year, top 5 the year before. I think team talent in my formula, they landed about number 7 or 8.
That's pretty good.
And team talent composite, I think, by 247 Sports, there are 10. So they have a talented roster, but I've seen them play. I think they, offensively, there's a little bit of some issues. I just saw them play Pitt, saw them play Iowa, saw them play against Michigan. And the 3 games they played against better teams, their offense at times just did not move the ball that great. So I think they're a good team, but I think they're more of like a 10-2 than a 12-0 competing draft.
One of your you have Ohio State number 1, and then Alabama 2nd, LSU at 3rd. Can you explain your poll compared to the AP poll?
Ohio State's the best team. I think a lot of the national media actually agree with me. I was listening to like Mendel and Feldman. They both thought they're number 1. A lot of analytics. I mean, they're top 5 both in defense and offense. They have one of the best quarterbacks in college football. They have one of the better receiving corps in college football. They have a great running back. They have a terrific offensive line. They have a great defensive line with possibly the best defensive lineman in America, Chase Young. They have a couple of the best corners. Jeffrey Okoto probably is going to be a top 10 pick. What's bad about them? Nothing. So I think they have the 2nd most talented roster, but actually because of all the injuries and some of the transfers by Alabama, I actually think that Ohio State, in my formula, I think I slightly have Alabama, but if you count that Trey Sanders and 5-star Dylan Moses and other guys are out for the season, actually guys that are playing, I think Ohio State's the most talented team in America. So if you were to ask me as of today, if they all played on a neutral side field, Ohio State, in my opinion, would win the national championship.
Interesting about like the coaches poll that they have Clemson as number 2.
Well, the coaches poll's a joke. Ignore that thing. Okay. Like I've heard how they heard it's like heard it's not like even coaches. It's like they're a representative that votes, and I heard they just kind of follow who won and lost. I heard that's why you don't hear much about the AP poll's better than the coaches, because the AP poll is writers that actually watch the games, so it's a more accurate. That's why Clemson's dropped to 4th. And you have LSU 2nd, and I'd have Ohio State 1st, but whatever. I think if the playoff releases their first ballot November 5th, I think if they were to release it today, Ohio State would be 1, LSU 2, probably Alabama 3, Oklahoma 4, Clemson 5. That's what I think. But we won't know. We'll find out when it's released.
We'll find out. And then, of course, a couple of days later, Alabama and LSU play, so that could definitely change some things.
Yeah, I tell you what, if Tua Tagovailoa is not playing against
LSU,
and you know what, even if he is playing, that high ankle sprain really takes 4 to 6 weeks to heal.
Yeah, it's
so... I don't think he'll be really healthy by then, because that's like 3 weeks. Will he even be able to practice before then? I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I thought Alabama was going to win. They always beat LSU, but as of today, I would lean LSU.
Yeah, you're right. High ankle sprain, which he suffered during the Tennessee game, 35-13. It looked pretty close towards the beginning around halftime, but that Alabama came out far superior at the end.
Not really. Did you not watch the game?
I watched some highlights.
They were about, well, then you didn't see the game. Tennessee was about ready to go into the end zone.
Yeah, I saw that.
Within one score.
Yeah.
And Jared Guantanamo throws the ball into the end zone. Alabama picks it up and runs it back for a touchdown. Alabama didn't look good in the second half. If they would have scored there, and also there was another series where they drove down and got within like the 5-yard line, then had a bunch of penalties and had to settle for a field goal. If they could have scored on a couple of those drives with how Mac, what's his name? Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones
is looking at quarterback. I would not have been totally surprised if Tennessee would pull off the upset. Alabama didn't look great in that game. And that was the most I watched Alabama this year.
If I was Mac Jones and Nick Saban, I'll probably start prepping Mac Jones a little bit just in case Tua doesn't come back on time. So, but he'll be playing against Arkansas.
Yeah, of course. Tua's not going to be back this week.
Start prepping him for
LSU.
It'll
be really interesting. Arkansas is such a bad team.
Oh, it's horrible.
I don't think it'll matter.
I mean, they lost against San Jose State.
I know. They're not good. But I don't know. I don't. As of right now, unless Tua gets some kind of miraculous healing powder, I don't know how in 3 weeks he's going to be healthy from a high ankle sprain. I know how long those take to heal.
Yeah,
like 4 to 6 weeks.
It kind of took 4 or 5 weeks for Saquon Barkley to heal up too. So
yeah, it's
similar
just,
injury,
just a pain in the butt. I mean, they're just hard to get stability on it, and so I don't know. I just don't know how he's going to play against LSU. But if he play, if he goes out, wins that game, and plays like amazing on a high ankle sprain, give him the Heisman.
Wow.
I'm telling you, like, don't even, like, no one else will deserve it.
What if Mac Jones wins the game?
Against LSU, he's not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now. No. Because LSU has a really good offense. Joe Burrow is a really good player. I mean, if Joe Burrow comes out and plays the worst game, which he hasn't all year, I just don't see it happening. I just think that they'll be able to score enough because Alabama's defense is not as good. I know that people said that, but I actually watched them. They're not as good on the front seven. They're just not. You can run a little bit on them. Defensive backs are good, but you can get enough stuff on them that a good offense like LSU, like Ohio State, they'd score points on Alabama for sure. Alabama would have to score back. And people say, oh, Tua's only great because of his receivers. Is it a little bit? Yes, his receivers are great. He's the best receiving core in college football. But I'm sorry, Tua Tagovailoa is good. And his receivers wouldn't be as good without him because they didn't look that good with Mac Jones throwing to him. So, Tua's big. I mean, he's a good player, man. I mean, there's no denying. He's a Heisman Trophy future top 10 pick for a reason. And if he can't come back, I probably won't win the Heisman. And it will affect his draft stock because he's not durable. He's small. He's not a big guy. That if you're not a big guy and you have durability issues, that's not great.
CBS has him.
Yeah.
CBS Sports has him as number two going to the Dolphins. So
their drafts are so lazy. I mean, Herbert's not a surefire number one. I'm telling you, he has to get more consistent. If he keeps on doing this up and down, I don't think people are gonna. If you talk to scouts and analysts closer to the thing, he's really too inconsistent. They're not going to draft him number one. I mean, he's big, he's fast, and he's crazy good arm, but you have to be more consistent. You have to be. Going 1 for 10 in the middle of ball games. You can't.
Well, Tyler, we'll be doing some weekly articles of who are the top Heisman candidates on your, according to your book.
Yep.
So, we're actually looking at real quick. Who's number one right now?
Joey Burrow.
Okay,
Joe Burrow.
Packers 6-1 to beat the Raiders 24-42. Aaron Rodgers had 265 passing yards. They're looking good, Tyler.
They are. I mean, I actually, be honest, I had to do stuff with my family. So I did not see the game. I saw the highlights like you. and so I can't give a description, but they look great. He had the best game of the year. It was an offensive output. I don't know how the Raiders haven't followed it close enough. Their D didn't look good from what I could see from the highlights, but it was good to see the offense get going. And what a game. Rodgers and the Packers are 6-1, which is phenomenal. And right now they look as good as anyone, if not better than most in the NFC. I think they have the best record in the NFC. And probably, I mean, Minnesota Vikings are their fearless rivals, probably the second best team. they look really good. And the Seahawks look solid and stuff. But, oh, yeah, I mean, the Packers are doing good offensively. They're still doing some good things defensively, getting after the quarterback, forcing turnovers. So, yeah, I kind of like how the direction the Packers went after firing Mike McCarthy and hiring Matt LaFleur. So it was a good decision.
Definitely looking good for the Packers. They play the Chiefs next, and the Chiefs are without Mahomes, so it's a good chance for them to win in Kansas City this weekend. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
That's all I got, man.
It's all good. Okay, this is some heavy hitters. Notre Dame at Michigan.
You know, I think Michigan, they showed a little something in the second part of that game. I'm not bought into Notre Dame. I think Michigan is at home going to play a really good game. I think they're going to beat Notre Dame. I remember when I said yesterday about, like, why is Oregon not in the top 10? Well, the main team I was looking at is, why is Notre Dame rated above Oregon? I'm like, I think Oregon's better. I think they've been better. But so I think Michigan beats Notre Dame.
Wisconsin at Ohio State.
You know what? I was looking forward to this game a lot. I still am. You know, I'm still going to watch it. I thought it was going to be a top six or whatever matchup is going to be. Wisconsin definitely blew that. I think they're going to come out. And I do think, you know, the fact that Justin Fields hasn't played against good defenses. You're not going to tell me that Nebraska, even Northwestern I just can't remember all the teams they've beaten. Cincinnati. I mean, there it's going to be a step up defensively. This is a top five defense when it comes to efficiency. I think it's going to give Fields a little bit of problems. I think he might make some mistakes. I think it's going to be a closer game than some people expect. I look at it being like a 28-20 victory. I think Ohio State gets it going late. I think they're more talented. I think Wisconsin has trouble moving the ball, might even turn the ball over. They're going to definitely try to stop Jonathan Taylor, who's a stud, who they're going to have to lean on for this game. But I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think it's going to be fairly close because I think Wisconsin was looking ahead, and this loss, I think, is going to irk them. And I think they'll come out, and I think it's pretty close.
Maybe the
28-20.
48-20. Maybe the biggest game of the weekend, Auburn at LSU.
No. I didn't say 48-20. I said 28-20.
28-20. Wow, it's even tighter than I thought. Okay, I'll write that down.
I said that. Didn't you hear what I just said?
You did. All right, let's go Auburn at LSU.
You know, what are you doing on the other end, San Diego? I like me talking. did you even hear anything?
I heard you wrong. But Auburn LSU, who you got there?
I said it was good. Okay, what did I say about the Ohio State-Wisconsin game?
Ohio State's going to win 20-20.
Yeah, but did I say it was going to be a blowout, or did I say it was going to be a close game?
It's going to be a close one, I think.
How did you think I would say 48-20 is not a close game?
Okay, let's move on to Auburn LSU, okay?
Jeez. Okay.
Let's not dwell on Ohio State not too much.
Well, because you're like sitting there saying how it's going to be a closer game than people expect, and you're like 48-20. I'm like, what?
I heard you wrong.
Okay, anyways.
I heard the score wrong. I heard the score wrong.
48-20 is a blowout.
It is.
Anyways, on to LSU versus Auburn. I thought it was at Auburn. So I thought this game was going to be at Auburn, and Auburn plays well at Auburn, and they have a good defense. And I was considering calling an upset, but then I found out it's at LSU.
Death Valley.
And I'm like, Bo Nix hasn't been great on the road. LSU is always good at home. I think LSU does have the better team.
Death Valley.
I don't know what the score is going to be, but I pick LSU. I was about ready to pick an upset for this game, but I found out like a couple hours ago it was at LSU, not Auburn.
If Auburn wins this game, then LSU has been exposed.
Been exposed in what way?
They exposed in their weaknesses. And somewhat.
What weaknesses?
It could be defense or offense.
Tell me, exposed in what way?
I mean, I'm saying generally.
Their offense is not going to be exposed. No, I don't agree with you at all. For one, this is a top five defense. I think this will be the hardest game for LSU's offense.
Okay.
So I actually think LSU's offense, as Alabama's offense, I think Auburn has a top five defense. Go back to the Ohio State, Wisconsin. I think Ohio State's going to have their worst game offensively. The reason why they're going to have their worst game is because Wisconsin's a really good defense. Do I think Ohio State will be exposed? No. But I just think Justin Fields has been throwing, you know, they've been scoring 40, 50-plus points a game, and then all of a sudden he faces the top five defense. That's quite a change. The teams he's been scoring 40, 50 points against are not even top 30 defenses. The same for LSU versus Alabama. LSU's been scoring 40, 50, 60 points a game.
Yeah.
None of those defenses are really Florida, but even Florida's defense isn't as good as it looked. Too many injuries on the D-line, injuries in the secondary. Probably more like a top 25-ish than a top. Well, Auburn's a top five defense. Well, defense does travel, and I think it'll be the toughest game for LSU. I think LSU is going to – I don't think they're going to score as much as they have, but I do think – I just don't trust Bo Nix as a freshman quarterback on the road against LSU. I just don't.
I don't either.
And I don't think LSU is – I don't think LSU is a great defense, but I think they're good enough. And Nix hasn't – didn't look good against Oregon, didn't look good against Florida on the road. So, I pick LSU.
The game before Alabama, that is who Auburn – who LSU is playing. The Cougars at the –
they won, right?
Yeah. Cougars at the Ducks.
I think – no, okay. Well, as I said, I think they've lost four games in a row. They've – to Washington State. I think there'll be motivation. It's at home. I don't think Washington State is good defense. They do have a good offense. I do think Washington State will get some yards. I think Oregon's been terrific on defense at home. They've been absolutely – the two games that they're a little not as good on defense was on the road. I think I'm a 42 to 20.
40, wow.
I'm pretty settled on that. And I think what Herbert is one of those. I'm just trying to get in the mentality of Herbert. Okay, he just led them. It's hard to get this kid. It's hard to figure out, but he just led them from a huge come-from-behind victory against a rival. I think he will have a lot of confidence, and I think against a bad defense, I predict 300-plus yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Look at their schedule. Like, the next hard game is Arizona State. And that's it.
Okay, say that again. Sorry.
Like their next hard game will be against Arizona State. Looking at their schedule.
No, USC.
Oh, yes, USC.
Their hardest game left is USC.
Yeah, you're right.
They play USC. And that is, I mean, I'm pretty convinced from the analytics. USC, 4-3. You look at the record, it's not great. But they lost at Notre Dame by 3 points. They lost to Washington in kind of a weird game. All efficiency, S plus pre ratings, the FBI, all of those polls have USC as a top 25 team. USC is good at home. USC does have elite wide receivers. USC has a very good defensive line. I think that'll be a tough game for Oregon. I'm not totally sure I'm going to pick Oregon to win that game. I'm on the fence. We'll see.
Let's go
I'll
by
see
the.
How they look this week. I'll see. But I would. That's the one game. If they lose a game, I don't think they lose to Arizona or Oregon State at home, and I don't think they lose to Arizona State. Arizona State's really not that good. I know they're in borderline top 25, but I've seen them play. Their offense at times is very bad, and their pass defense isn't great either. So I think Arizona State's one of those teams that looks like Tarzan, but they're really Jane. I think they're a 7-5, 8-4 team at best. So, I think Oregon beats them. The game that USC is going to be a tough game.
Monday Night Football, Patriots at the New York Jets.
I mean, Patriots.
And random question, which of these stores is your favorite place to shop? Target, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, or Walmart?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I'm going into Target right after I talk to you, so I go to Target a lot. I used to go to Trader Joe's a lot. I don't live near one anymore, and I love Whole Foods. I'm gonna say Whole Foods.
Okay, Whole Foods is winning. It's losing by 0%. Trader Joe's is winning by 50%.
Yeah, I used to go to Trader Joe's a lot, but there's not one near me.
That's too bad. So. And it is Back to the Future Day. Who's your favorite character? Marty, Doc Brown, Biff, or George McFly?
Never watched it.
Wow, that's the best movie of all time.
Okay, I believe you.
And who had a good weekend, Marcus Peters or Jalen Ramsey?
I don't know. Ramsey won. Did Peters win?
Yeah, he did.
Who's
in
Peters
Seattle. Peters plays for the Ravens.
Oh, yeah, they beat Seattle.
That was huge.
Oh. Well, that's a good victory. The Rams won. So, yeah, they both had a good week.
Both have a good week. Tyler, how can people reach you?
One have an, yeah. Did either one have an interception?
Peters did. A beautiful interception and a touchdown.
Okay. Oh, well, then Peters has a better game.
Yeah, Peters won 69% on the Twitter poll. So, looking good for with his new team. Tyler, how can people reach you to talk to about the Washington State Cougars?
You mean about Oregon Ducks? Talk to me about the Oregon Ducks.
Talk about the Cougars. They want to know if they could, you know. No, kid.
Oh, at TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be live.
Before we go, my alma mater, Liberty University, they play at Rutgers and are favored this week.
And they're a Power 5 team, guys. So that's.
Yep. And they're 5-2. If they win against Rutgers, they're bowl eligible.
You know, it's funny how, like, throughout the years, Liberty has picked, like, the right coaches to go to the next level. They've just been very consistent with that. It's good. So hopefully that continues on.
Yeah, they hired Hugh Freeze. He had some health concerns. But I haven't watched them play a lot. But I know they won a game, like, 59-44 the other day. But I know they have a really good receiver. They have a wide receiver that is projected to be a second or third round draft pick. So. Mm.
There's always like usually like one player from Liberty that, you know, which gets into the NFL draft sometimes, but you know.
Oh yeah. They've had 3-4 guys drafted over the last decade. They'll have more now that they are FBS.
Sportscast 1, follow us on Twitter. We'll be live tweeting the Washington State Oregon game and of course LSU Auburn and then NFL game day. Really exciting things in Sportscast. Watch out for any articles concerning like our top 10 best teams in college football, and also a Heisman article will be coming out either this week or next week, depends how Tyler feels, but looking forward towards the end of the season. Things are trying to narrow in. Anyways,
I did
appreciate you coming on.
I see you, man.